A rose is a rose is an onion. Ernest Hemingway wrote that, perhaps to thumb his nose at Gertrude Stein, and maybe he was saying that names are important, because they are. Christopher Jones is a minor league baseball executive.
You can just say Chris.
And an informal kind of guy. He used to be the general manager of a team from California called the Storm, and then he became the GM of a Texas team called the Skeeters. And this past March, Chris became president of a Cleveland Indians affiliate in Lynchburg, Virginia, called the Hillcats, and therein lies the problem and the challenge.
You know, merchandise sales was one of the lowest in minor league baseball.
Chris thought he knew why the sale of Hillcats stuff was slack.
My kids played Little League baseball, and when I was with the Lake Elsinore Storm, yeah, my kids wanted to be the Storm. When I was with the Sugarland Skeeters, my kids' teams wanted to be the Skeeters because they thought it was cool. So mentioned to them if they wanted to be the Hillcats team, and they kind of, kind of rolled their eyes. Maybe that's the issue, that the Hillcats isn't cool enough. We said, maybe a name change would be good.
So, on behalf of the Hillcats and the merchandise they weren't moving, Chris invited fans to come up with a name that would induce them to buy caps and jerseys, because though minor league baseball is about baseball, it's also about selling stuff. The fans obliged.
The Lamb Chops, the River Runners, the Dove.
All right, a bit strange, but any stranger than Mud Hens, Iron Pigs, Wing Nuts, because those are all the names of minor league teams.
And the Love Apples.
What?
I guess the translation of the French word for tomato is love apple.
I'm sorry, what?
For a logo, I would assume some kind of angry tomato.
I'm still confused. So I make another call, this one to an expert on a legend concerning one of the founding fathers and tomatoes.
The legend goes that he was standing on the steps trying to entice people to grow this unusual vegetable, I guess, in Lynchburg. So he ate it and didn't keel over and die or have any other bad effects.
We're going to get back to that keeling over and dying bit in a second, but first let's introduce Peggy Cornett.
Curator of plants at Monticello.
Which should clue you in to the identity of that guy with the unusual vegetable. Monticello was, of course, the home of Thomas Jefferson, president of the United States from 1801 until 1809, when he actually did die, tragically, after eating a tomato. Nah, then there would have been no story. Anyway, Monticello wasn't the only place in Virginia where Thomas Jefferson had a home.
He had a retreat home near Lynchburg called Poplar Forest.
Lynchburg, remember? The home of the Hillcats. And it was there, legend has it, that Thomas Jefferson ate a tomato in front of a crowd and didn't die. So why was eating a tomato an allegedly brave act of ingestion?
Well, there's lots of European botanists that came along and said it was poisonous.
Andrew F. Smith is a culinary historian and professor at the New School in New York.
They defined it as poisonous because it was associated with mandrake.
Wood curses kill as doth the mandrake's groan, or so says Shakespeare anyway. According to the Lynchburg legend, Thomas Jefferson wanted to prove the tomato wasn't poisonous, and that's why he took that bite one day in Lynchburg and, by virtue of not dying, introduced the tomato to America. But is that legend, the one upon which Chris Jones and his baseball team may be pinning the legitimacy of the team's new name, really true?
It is hooey.
Professor Smith spent 8 years researching the history of the fruit for his 1984 book, The Tomato in America.
No one really thought the tomato was poisonous in America. And the first American recipe is really 1772. So the presumption is that if you have a recipe and somebody puts it in a book, most likely they've been eating it well before that.
But Jefferson's relationship with the tomato was still an important one. It's hard for me to believe I've said that, but bear with me for the sake of the story. Professor Smith says that when he was in Europe, Jefferson would send different varieties of tomato seeds back home. Again, Monticello's Peggy Cornett.
Jefferson was trying to get people to try different vegetables and products that would make us self-sufficient. So he was always trying to introduce new plants to America. He said the greatest service could be rendered any country is to add a useful plant to its culture.
So even though the legend might not be true, heck, it isn't true, Jefferson didn't even call the fruit a love apple. He called it a tomato.
You like tomato?
And you like tomato?
Potato?
Potato?
Tomato?
Tomato?
That's is coming.
Yeah, you knew that was coming, didn't you? Peggy Cornett likes the idea of naming the baseball team in Lynchburg the Love Apples anyway.
Well, yeah, I think it's kind of sweet. You know, Love Apple, it's a nice tribute to Thomas Jefferson. You know, another name for the tomato, though, was Wolf's Peach. So they might want to consider being the Wolf's Peaches.
The Lynchburg Wolf's Peaches. I like it. But what about the players? They're the ones who might have to wear a uniform featuring an angry tomato. What do they think about becoming the Love Apples?
Every time I'm down there, they ask me, how's it going? Or, you know, what are the names? And I think for them, it doesn't really matter.
That's team president Chris Jones again.
The guys that are coming to us are leaving us and going to the rubber duckies, you know, the Akron rubber duckies. So I think that, you know, they get to this level, they're just happy to be at this level and wanting to get to the next level, which is the rubber ducks.
And you thought this story couldn't get any sillier, which brings us to the question of whether a team called the Rubber Duckies is sillier than one called the Love Apples. A minor league conundrum, if ever there was one.